Hello, caller.
Oh, good. We did it.
You're on the air.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Nerdy Legion with Martin Ferretti.
The first episode of the final year of the decade.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the final year of Nerdy Legion.
I mean, maybe. You never know.
I got scared.
You got scared.
I trembled.
Oh, thou shalt not fear.
Mmm.
The Nerdy Legion's here.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
How was your Christmas, buddy?
Oh, buddy. I think I told you. I'm not sure. Maybe I didn't. Philomena was sick.
Well, you told me, but you didn't tell the listener.
Oh, I can't recall. Lines are blurred. Reality, surrealism, blurred.
Mm.
Philomena, the mother-in-law, she was sick. And so was my brother-in-law. He was sick. So I told you the big kerfluffle for Thanksgiving. Julie, the cruise director, and I were sick, so mm-hmm. We did not go over for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So this Christmas rolls around, and the mother-in-law and the brother-in-law are sick. So we're like, all right, let's just cancel Christmas. We'll do it the following Saturday. Why not? So we cancel, and then those two parties, my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, call up the mother-in-law, and we're like, hey, we can still get together. Why don't you come over and to the mother-in-law? Why don't you come over to our house and we'll just have a Christmas meal? Since we're all sick, we can all just hang in the house sick.
Yeah, there you go.
So Liz, my wife and I, we have to partition ourselves away for Thanksgiving, and then we get partitioned away because we're healthy for Christmas. So we were inside. I mean, we made the best of it. We did, you know, a decent meal and whatnot. But we just, you know, watched holiday stuff and enjoyed the day. But still, it was like, wait, we just got blackballed twice. Like, we volunteered once, and now we got blackballed this time. What the heck?
That is shameful.
Yeah, but that's all right.
Shameful. I mean,
at least like I told the wife, at least we don't have kids that are, you know, hyper focused on it has to be this day. Because then Saturday rolled around after Christmas, this weekend it rolled around and the mother-in-law is still sick. So we just were like, ah, let's do it in February. Like, whatever.
Christmas in February. I hear you.
Yeah, no big deal. How was yours? I saw your picture of your spread. Very impressive.
Well, thank you. Yes, I woke up at 7, and I went to get Zoe, who had the flu. So Zoe was very upset because she couldn't stay for Christmas. Like, she came to get her presents.
Sure.
Opened them up.
Yeah.
But then she got picked up like a couple hours later before everybody got here.
Now, is that a normal thing? I don't have children. I'm not divorced, so I don't have to deal with any of those hurdles.
Sure. So normally the way we do it is they get up at like 4 a.m. at her mom's house.
Sure.
So I go get her at like 10 and she spends the rest of the day here.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because normally they'll go to like her mom's dad's house like the day before and eat there.
Right.
And then that weekend they'll go to her mom's house. So it's not like she doesn't have multiple Christmases, you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure.
But she was very upset because all of those things got canceled.
Because she was sick.
Because she had the flu.
Yeah, totally understandable. But, I mean, back to my point, at least I didn't have to deal with that. I don't have a child that's like, hey, on the 25th, hey, on Thanksgiving, or not, on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Like, we do this, and I don't want to lose out on this.
Yep. No, we usually spread it up pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, we split it up pretty well. So anyway, so she got here, she opened her present. I mean, she seemed fine.
But why did she have to leave at 10?
Because just everybody was coming over at noon, and I didn't want to get anybody else sick.
Okay. But she didn't want to go, but you were like, no, this is for the best.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, my nieces and nephews are coming over, and my in-laws and stuff. I don't want to be getting other people's kids sick.
Totally understandable.
Yeah. So, but it was fine. I mean, she enjoyed what she got. She got what she wanted. So, so that was good. In fact, she's been wearing the same shirt for like 4 days, apparently.
Well, she's sick. She can do that.
yeah. So they gave her some, I didn't know they had like antiviral stuff for flu. I guess they do. So she's been taking this nasty medication. Mm. I went to pick her up Friday because it was my weekend to have her. And her mom gave me this medicine. And Zoe, and once we got in the truck and we were driving over, Zoe's like, I am not taking that medicine. And I'm like, why not? She's like, it's freaking disgusting. And I was like, it can't be. How bad could it be? You know what I mean? So we're talking about this for like 10 minutes. I was like, fine, I'm going to taste it. So I smelled it. It smelled like bubble gum. I was like, this can't be that bad. I went and took a little sip, and it tasted fine at first. But all of a sudden, it had that like metallic sulfuric taste to it.
Sure.
And I was like, delicious. She's like, I'm not a baby. I know you think that's disgusting.
Yeah, my mom, when we were sick, when we were growing up, she would have like vitamin, I think it was D tablets that weren't chewable, but like they dissolved. And she's like, oh no, zinc. And so they weren't chewable, but they would dissolve in your, like in your mouth. And for whatever reason, we weren't allowed to like swallow them because they were sort of like, they looked like Tums almost. Mm. So she would just let us like dissolve them in our mouth, but she was like, don't chew them. Don't like, just let them like slowly dissolve. And it would, that zinc would always give you that metallic taste all the way down your throat. Ugh, it's the worst.
Yeah. So the medicine was gross. Mm-hmm. But Friday night we went to Freddy's to eat dinner. Do you have a Freddy's up there?
No, you always ask. No, I do not have Freddy's up there.
So we went to Freddy's, me and the girls. My wife stayed home because she doesn't like to go out. And
she had Breaking Bad to watch.
Yeah, she had Breaking Bad to watch. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So me and the girls went out to Freddy's. And then she's like, can I get – because they have custard.
Oh.
All right, they make custard there.
Nice.
And she always likes to get the worms and dirt. Which is the vanilla custard with, like the
gummy worms and crushed up Oreos.
There you go. That's it. Yeah. Crushed up Oreos. I was like, fine, but you have to take your medicine every day. So she got the custard and she took her medicine very unwillingly.
Mm. How old are your daughters?
16 and 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Santa came for both of them, or did mom and dad come for one of them and Santa came for the other one?
No. Santa came for both of them.
Wait, hold on. If you're driving in your car and children in the car, you might want to pause this podcast for 5 minutes because I have to ask. So both kids still believe in Santa? Or is the 16-year-old gleefully holding on to the notion of Santa because the presents might leave? If she doesn't.
All right, so that's a great question.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt your custard story. I want to hear the entire
that's a good
story.
Question.
We can come back to the Santa question, but I'm dying to know.
That's a good question. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So I have never outright asked Reagan if she believes in Santa. Mm-hmm. I assume because she's 16, she does not believe in Santa.
Or someone spoiled it for her.
However, I think she believes in, like, the spirit of Santa.
Can I ask you this? I've never chatted with a young child. Like, I'm sure they're in your environment a lot more than they are in mine. A 16-year-old might not believe in Santa, but would they believe that Harry Potter is nonfiction?
No.
Hoping that that magic is real. You see my parallel? Like, mm-hmm. I could see a 9-year-old being like, whatever Harry Potter's doing, that's what I want to do. Something to do with a wand and making things appear through magic. I'm not sure what Harry Potter does. I fell asleep in 3 of those films.
Right. So I don't think Reagan actually believes in Santa.
Mm.
Okay? But I think she likes the idea of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she pretends to believe in Santa.
She believes in the spirit.
Correct.
Maybe not the jolly fat man, but because see, I'm the oldest.
But she likes the idea of some like pretend magical thing.
I'm the oldest, so I had to pretend for a few years until my brother learned.
Right, same as me.
But also, I knew a couple years going that there is the spirit of Christmas, sure. But there is no fat man coming down blah, blah, blah. But also, if I said, because my mom and dad were smart enough to be like, not all these presents are from Santa. Some say to Nick from Santa. Some say to Nick from mom and dad.
Sure.
Because obviously they wanted to get a little kudos for some of their gifts. But also, I let this run for a couple of years, even though I sort of knew that this, you know, the gig was up. But I didn't want it to be up because I didn't want all my cool presents to turn into socks and underwear and shirts. You know what I'm saying? Like, both parents are like, yes, we give you all the boring stuff. Santa brings the cool stuff.
Sure.
And I didn't want that. I didn't want it to all be clothes.
Sure. So that's yes.
What she's doing, or is she doing this for her younger sister that she's just like, all right, I'll go along with
No,
it.
I think she likes the idea of it.
That's cool.
And so she just pretends that it's still real.
I like that.
That seems to me the way it is, because we had that chat. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. We had the chat in the car when we went to pick Zoe up one day, and Zoe asked me if Santa was real.
Mm.
And I was like, do you think he's real?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I think you guys bring the presents. I was like, I don't know. Ask Reagan. And so she asked Reagan. Reagan's like, of course Santa's real. If you want Santa to be real, then he's real.
Smart.
And that's kind of what I told her. I'm like, you know, if you feel like Santa's real, then Santa's real. He's real in your head, right? That's all that matters.
Did you look in the rearview mirror and give your oldest daughter a little wink? You have that moment back and forth?
No, we did not do that.
Okay.
But you know, the tradition that we have here is the presents that Santa brings are on the couch unwrapped. And the stuff that we get is under the tree wrapped.
Oh, interesting. So that I was going to ask you what is a tradition that you've done with the kids? And obviously that's a tradition. Did your parents do that, or did your wife's parents do that? Like, how did you come to that tradition?
I don't know. That's the way that my wife did it the first year we were together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of stuck with that.
So it had to have come from her side of the family.
I mean, I would assume so.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would like to know. Yeah, ask her when you talk to her. Next time you talk to her in the next couple of weeks, why don't you ask her?
we never did that growing up. All our presents were always under the tree.
Same here.
Yeah. And I think, how did they do it? I think the Santa gifts just had like to whoever it was, but they said from Santa. And then the ones from our parents just said like from mom and dad.
Yeah, like my wife asked if I ever, and I'm sure you could guess my answer. My wife asked if we as kids ever went snooping around for the presents during Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you could guess that answer. I'm a rule follower, so that would never, ever dawn in my head to do that. To ever look for a present. But I think I discovered that Santa wasn't real. Of course, you hear like all the older kids on the playground. They might say that, but you're always like, F you. No way. No way. But then that puts that little seed of doubt in your head. And I think I discovered it that year because all of a sudden I noticed the name tags were all written in my mom's handwriting. From them. And that's
right.
Where I put it together like, huh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, so I grew up in South America, so we had presents twice growing up. So for Christmas Day, you get like some small presents, but then you get your big presents on January, whatever it is, January 6th, I think it is, which is Three Kings Day.
Because,
you know, the Three Kings brought Jesus presents.
Sure.
So that's like a Latin American tradition.
Gotcha.
So we got presents twice, which was awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
But then we moved to the States. It wasn't like that. We just did the Christmas thing.
Yeah. And I think when I finally learned that it was my parents, because as kids, it's like, and I'm sure you read over these lists every year, and it's like, oh my God, do they even know how much any of this stuff is?
Mm-hmm.
And once you learn it's your parents, you can sort of gauge like, they're not going to be getting me that Lego Death Star kit that's like, you know, whatever, $800.
Sure, right,
there's no way in hell I'm getting that. But I could get a couple of these action figures because that's more in their wheelhouse. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I mean, I was ready to get Zoe everything she had on her list.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all that stuff from that YouTuber. Like, I ended up having to take a bunch of stuff off because, like, it was like $10 shipping for every item that you added.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know how they did the shipping calculation.
So wait, even if you bought five things, it'd be $50 shipping?
Yeah, I ended up spending $60 just on shipping for her stuff.
For six items.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Six or seven items.
No, my point is, like, you buy a scarf and a shirt, and they're going to charge you $20.
Yeah,
instead
there wasn't
light. It's $10.
Yeah, there wasn't, like, a combined shipping either.
Jesus. Yeah. Wow. If that idiot was on eBay, holy Christ, would he be rigged, he or she be rigged over the coals.
Mm-hmm.
Yikers.
Yep. But whatever. So I ended up taking a lot of stuff off the thing.
But still, she got some good stuff.
She got good stuff.
Yeah.
And there's always like stocking stuffers and stuff on there too. So whatever.
Do you guys do stock? Okay. Cause just let me I've been dying to ask a couple holiday questions.
Sure.
Do you guys do, cause one of our big things was our stockings, and they weren't gigantic stockings. They were regular sized Christmas stockings, but my mom would fill those things up. Like it's 3 pounds of sausage in a 1 pound liner. Like it is a horn of plenty. And granted, some of the stuff was just like nickel candy or whatever.
Sure.
But the amount of that crap in there, sure, it was never like a Mego figure. By no means. It was probably $4 worth of crap. But as a kid, it was like, oh my God, it just kept going and going and going. Do you guys do stockings for the
kids? Yeah, we do stockings, but we just do small stuff, mostly like different kinds of candies, maybe like a small gift card, you know, like $5 or $10 or whatever.
Awesome. I'm sure they like that too.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool.
Okay, because I wanted to ask about traditions, and I assume all the stuff that you do every year. So these are sort of traditions that you're building with the kids. Do you let them open up any presents on Christmas Eve, one present on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, so they can open presents under the tree on Christmas Eve.
And that's from you and your wife.
Yeah, that's from us.
But Santa comes on Christmas Day.
Right. Santa comes at midnight on Christmas.
Gotcha.
So you open those on Christmas morning because, you know, Santa's not there. It's Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we did. And I mean, feel free to share your childhood. We never until we found out about Santa, that's when they sort of changed and they would let us open up one present Christmas Eve, but you had to wait for everything else Christmas Day.
Mm.
But it was still sort of neat to be like, oh, we get to choose our present. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Right. Now, see, so when I was growing up, all the presents are put under the tree Christmas morning.
Mm.
So okay. There were no presents under the tree before Christmas.
Oh, that's neat.
But they'd wake us up at like, you know, 12:30 or whatever to go open presents.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, that's sort of nice, though, because I do remember like one Christmas tradition was my mom, my brother and I had separate rooms when we got like 8 years old, maybe
mm-hmm.
8 and 6. But till then we would share a room. And even when we got separate rooms, my mom would come up like after church when we got home, you know, we were pretty excited. And I think I think to wind us down, she would take us upstairs and read like The Night Before Christmas.
Mm.
And it was like a picture book, like a child's picture book. And I think that was to wind us down. But I remember like we wouldn't be up, but we wouldn't really sleep all too well. So having somebody wake you up at 12:30 would be pretty awesome to unwrap gifts. That would be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was good. And, you know, we had to leave cookies out for Santa. And then on Three Kings Day, you had to have like a bowl of grass and a bowl of water for the camels.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, that's really neat.
So everyone got good stuff.
Good.
Everyone got what they wanted. My wife got me some more archery time.
Ooh.
Yeah, my wife did really good this year at Christmas. She got everyone experiences.
Oh, good for her.
So she got me some more archery time. She got her brother like an hour at Smash It, which is like you go in a room and you get to smash shit for an hour.
Oh, my God. To let out anxiety.
Yeah. And wow. I can't remember what she got her parents, but yeah, so she got experiences for everybody, for the adults.
Is it sort of like a Gallagher stage show? Are you like taking hammers and smashing watermelons and stuff? Or are you like running and jumping into boxes and kicking stuff?
Yeah, there's like, you know, a TV in there and a baseball bat and like whatever, just like smash it.
Oh my God. Well, I've never heard of that experience, but that sounds awesome. That'd be a good stress reliever.
Yeah, the place is called Smash It.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's good. It seems fun.
Yeah.
It seems fun to take out some anger.
No, I was just curious. You woke up at 7 in the morning and started to cook. That's what I was curious about.
Yeah. So I woke up at 7 and started the pie the night before. Because I had to make dulce de leche for the pie. And I don't know if you've ever made it before, but it's condensed milk. That's the only ingredient. Mm-hmm. You leave it in the can and you boil it for 3 hours.
Sheesh.
But then you gotta let it cool back to room temperature before you open the can so it doesn't explode in your face.
Ah, okay.
So I was up until 2 boiling the cans, and then at 2 I took them out and let them cool until 7 when I woke up. And then I popped it open, put it in the pie shell, and then I had to cool it for 4 hours before I could do anything with it. I woke up at 7, got that taken care of, went to get Zoe, came back. Actually, I put the ham in the oven too. And then I went to get Zoe, came back. She did her present stuff. And then when she got picked up at 10, I started the other stuff. Cause the rest of the stuff was easy and, you know, it's like a 30-minute cooking time. So I did mac and cheese. I did, broccoli casserole, the sweet potato casserole, just like corn, green beans. What else did I do? I'm missing something. The deviled eggs. And I ended up having to do everything because my wife was going to do the broccoli casserole.
Uh-huh.
But she started cleaning, and by this time it was like noon. I was like, do you want me to just make it? And she's like, sure. So I ended up making the broccoli casserole too. And then my in-laws brought a lemon meringue pie, and my brother-in-law brought some like different flavored pound cakes.
Jeez.
He didn't make them. He bought them somewhere. But it was good. And the pie was a hit.
Oh, good.
You should ask Filipina about it. It's Banoffee, which I guess is a British kind of pie.
Oh, nice.
Although I'm sure in England they don't use the dulce de leche.
Have you ever made that pie before?
No, first time I made it. In fact, I posted it on Twitter. My brother was the only one that guessed where I got the recipe from. And then my wife posted it, I think, on her Facebook or maybe Instagram. And one of her friends asked if I got this recipe from this place.
Ooh.
So, yes, I did. So, very coincidentally, I was watching YouTube Christmas Eve, and there was a new Bingin' with Babish video. I don't know if you've ever seen Bingin' with Babish.
Is he the guy that has – all you see is his chest and
yes,
hands?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I have. And like the background is sort of soft faded.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So his video was this dulce de leche Banoffee.
Mm.
And I was like, I love dulce de leche. So I need to make this. So I did. And it's very easy. It's like 5 ingredients. Cause you know, the pie shell is just like graham crackers and butter. Then you have the dulce de leche that's just boiled condensed milk. Then you do a layer of sliced bananas on top of that, and then you make whipped cream. So whipped cream is just heavy cream and sugar, and that's it. You just chill the pie for a few hours.
That sounds pretty good.
But let me tell you, it was a hit. So I made 2. They were gone, so I had to make another one because my coworkers wanted some. So I got to take some to my coworkers. And now everyone's asking, can I eat the pie in the refrigerator? Because it's in there, so I can take it to work.
Uh-oh.
But I said no, because that's already, you know, it's made for them. So I'm going to have to make another freaking pie probably tomorrow, I guess,
nice.
So that they can eat it at home.
Well, hey, at least it's a hit.
Yep. Oh, I ended up putting chopped almonds on top.
Nice. Yep. I heard his chocolate chunk cookies are supposed to be pretty phenomenal.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He does really good stuff. I recommend the channel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very well thought out, and I like the style. I like the look of it.
Yeah, it's good. He does. He's been doing a lot of like not always desserts, but a lot of times they are desserts from like TV shows, which is cool too.
He's also on season two of Jon Favreau's The Chef.
Oh, is he? I don't know. Favreau had a show.
Yeah.
Well, I like think it's called a non-Star Wars show.
It's a Netflix show. It's all about his love affair of food and meeting and hiring Roy Choi to teach him how to cook through the film Chef. And then I guess he still loves food so much that he did two seasons on Netflix, and every episode he brings on somebody along with Roy Choi. Roy Choi's on every episode. And one of the episodes on season two, he goes to Robert Rodriguez's home in Texas and they do barbecue.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was, and it's neat because they're, you know, they're sharing stories and Favreau's talking about that film, and a lot of people are remarking on, you know, oh, when I saw that film and you made such and such, that's the thing I want to learn, or that's the thing that inspired me to do what I'm serving you. It's really good.
I just put this on my queue. This sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think you'll like it because Roy Choi is freaking awesome. Just amazing.
Oh, yeah, see it. Extra Helpings with Babish and Dave.
There you go.
Yeah, Babish was on what's that YouTube, the Bon Appetit channel. He did the barbecue episode with Brad.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Which that was awesome as well.
Oh, comes full circle.
Comes full circle. The Look Chef Show. Very good. I like this.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
But so yeah, it was good. Everyone was stuffed. I've been eating ham and leftovers for like 4 days, and there's still plenty left.
And now let me ask you, are you sick of ham at this point?
I had a ham sandwich this afternoon.
That's the correct response. Whenever my wife's like, oh, I've had enough ham, I'm like, no. That's – no. The correct thing is the opposite thing you just said. You can never be sick of ham. You can never have enough ham.
Yeah, ham's delicious.
If made correctly. You can't just go and buy a ham steak and it's like, this has already been cooked. You can just open it and eat it. It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cook it right. Even a ham steak tastes great, but you sort of have to throw it in the skillet.
Well, and I got a little pretentious too. So we bought a ham and it came with a little packet of glaze.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm not a peon. I'm not using this fucking packet of glaze.
This orange marmalade that they say is a glaze.
Sure. Yeah. So I just made my own and it was good.
Yeah. Now, did you get spiral cut?
No. It was pre-sliced though.
Okay. I love me some spiral cut. Oh.
Yeah.
That is really, really good. Except unless you're going to use the bone for soup, because then, of course, the spiral goes into the bone a little bit.
Right.
So you can get a little bit more like bits of bone than you'd prefer in a soup. But guess what? If you strain that soup, wink, wink, which is what you should be doing, then you'll be okay.
See, I messed up because I threw the bone away. I should have kept it for bone broth.
Yeah, or split pea soup, one or the other.
Man, I messed up.
Yeah, that was a rookie mistake. You had too much pie.
Dude, I was just so tired.
Was that by slice three of the pie?
No, I only had one slice.
That you pulled that mistake? Like, I couldn't help it. I had two helpings of stuffing, one too many rolls, and three pieces of pie. And
that's what I forgot. Pull. I made bread also.
Of course you did. You weren't Friday.
Yeah, the bread was a hit.
Heck yeah.
My father-in-law was asking me like 3,000 questions about the bread. Because apparently whenever he makes bread, it doesn't come out the way that mine came out.
Yeah.
So I had to go through like the whole process with him.
So what do you think by his questions and responses, where do you think he stumbles at then?
Well, for one, he doesn't let the yeast bloom.
Oh, well, that's the huge one.
Yeah, I mean, he does, but I don't think long enough.
It's almost like throwing too hot a water in there. It's like, well, yeah, you can kill the yeast many ways.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Well, you know what the thing is? I think a lot of times when you make bread, they say like half a teaspoon of sugar or a teaspoon of sugar, something like that. I always do 3 teaspoons of sugar when I'm letting the yeast bloom, because then you get like a fucking foamy ass bloom.
Right.
That's when you know it's ready to go.
You're getting it ready to eat.
Yeah. And then you got to let it rest enough.
Gotcha. So. Yeah, usually it's small little mistakes like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I messed up too because I ended up using a smaller bowl than I should have to let the dough rise.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I had bowls all over the place, right? I mean, you got to remember, I'm making like 8 dishes at the same time. So like my entire kitchen was in the sink dirty. So I found like the last bowl I had. It was fine. Like, it worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like overflowing, dude.
I couldn't even imagine how much time you spent either loading dishes into the dishwasher or washing them by hand.
Oh, I think my wife did 3 loads of dishes.
Oof. Ay, ay, ay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. How else are you going to do that?
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's why I see a lot of restaurants, especially around the holidays, that are like, we'll feed your entire party, you know, whatever it is, for $18 a person. Mm-hmm. We'll feed your entire party with, you know, sides and meat and dessert and all that.
Yep.
And man, some of these places, like some grocery stores, maybe not fufu grocery stores like Whole Foods, but like some of the local places, some of them are like charging such little amount of money. That how the hell do they even make money?
Yeah, we went to Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and it was I think it was $18.
Was it an all you can eat or
all you can eat ham, turkey, and helpings?
That, like, how do they make money off that?
Right.
Or if they're making money, it can't be that much.
Yeah, it can't be that much.
Or they're making it all, they're hoping you come for $18, but then you're drinking a lot of like high end liquors or whatever.
Sure.
But boy, oh boy, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But
like I see some of these like cookies, you know, like you can go onto like Etsy and you can order cookies, like homemade cookies, if you don't want to make like a plate of cookies for your office party or whatever, cookie exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people are charging like $30 for 2 dozen worth of cookies.
Mm.
And I'm like, and the wife's like, wow, that's really expensive. But I'm like, if you think about it, if you don't have any of those ingredients in your fridge,
right?
Or you just don't know how to bake that well, but you're not going to bring to like a cookie exchange or like your office party, you're not going to bring like a bag of Oreos. It sort of has to look, you're either going to go high end and go to like a Whole Foods and get these like fufu, like heavy duty, like perfectly decorated cookies, or it has to look homemade.
Yeah.
And at some point, like you have to look at like 2 dozen as like, well, it's $30, but I didn't have to buy any of the ingredients or waste the time. Cause as we both know, time's money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting a homemade cookie. Sure, it might be whatever it is, 67 cents a cookie or whatever the price is. I was watching a video on it. Oh, but at least it's like, well, they are homemade cookies. You just didn't have to spend all that money buying all those ingredients and, right. and spending your time and hoping that the cookie comes out okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep, that's true. But so everyone had a good time. Everyone enjoyed the food.
Nice.
Everyone wants more food. I told them I'm taking a break. So yeah, but it was good. It was good. So everyone had a good time.
Of course, everyone in the house, they're not eating leftovers. So that's all on you.
No. Everyone ate leftovers for a couple days.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Cause usually they don't. They don't touch them.
Yep. No, everyone did. I even had to give away an entire tray of macaroni because there was so much.
Oh my God.
Dude, I made 3 pounds of macaroni.
Jesus.
And then when you combine it with the cheese, I mean, it's like 10 pounds of macaroni.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
You know what I mean? Cause you use like a whole block of Velveeta. That's 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're using a pound a piece of the other cheese. So that's another 2 or 3 pounds.
Sure.
So yeah, and then the milk that you got to put in the Velveeta, this and the other, it probably comes out to like 8 or 9 pounds.
I don't doubt it.
When you finish.
Did you add bone marrow to the gravy?
I did not.
Darn it.
I did coat the bottom of the macaroni in bacon grease.
Ooh.
Instead of coating it with you know, like the Spam spray.
Yeah.
That was good.
Nice.
And then the green beans I made with a little bacon fat too. Because, you know, it's now, Southern style green beans.
Now, macaroni and cheese, is there breadcrumbs on top?
I did not do breadcrumbs on that. There were breadcrumbs on, well, not breadcrumbs. I used Ritz crackers on the broccoli casserole.
Ooh, very fancy.
I smashed up Ritz crackers and then put some melted butter on top.
Did you buy a gigantic box of White Castle sliders and chop those up and put them into your stuffing?
Nope.
Hmm.
No, I didn't do stuffing.
No stuffing?
No stuffing.
No dressing?
No dressing.
What?
No. For the ham?
What's going on? Yeah!
No!
Stuffing can go with everything.
Nah.
Hell yeah.
Nah.
Hell yeah.
Nah, not me. I'm not big into the stuffing.
I love the stuffing.
Eh, stuffing's fine with a turkey. I'm not big on it with ham.
Ah, crazy.
Yeah. But I ended up falling asleep at like 6 o'clock.
Ooh.
I took like a 2-hour nap, and when I woke up, like half of everybody was gone.
What time did this start?
I think we started eating at like 2.
When did everyone come over?
About 1:30.
Jesus, and they were still over at 6?
Right?
Holy Christ, dude. Maybe Jana. Hello, Jana. New listener, Jana. That's mom to everyone. Hello. she is very efficient. Like, I mean, we are opening gifts right after. No, sorry. Opening gifts, watching a little bit of football, eating food, watching a little bit more football, then dessert, coffee, whatnot. And then we're out the door a half hour later. I mean, Christmas might be 3 hours, 3.5 tops.
Mm.
We are in and we are out. We are very efficient.
Nice. Hey, that's good.
6 o'clock. Dude, I would have been upstairs snoozing away. I would not have been falling asleep on my lazy boy. I would be like, yep, you take care of your family. I'm out of here.
Yep. Yep. Jeez. Well, I think they were watching Home Alone and I fell asleep.
Smart.
So then I woke up, half the people were gone. I think my brother-in-law and his kids were still here.
Mm-hmm.
So they left like 30 minutes after that. And then we watched Joker. That was our Christmas movie.
Ah, the perfect Christmas movie. A real uplifting experience.
Yes, a very uplifting experience. But it was good though, because that was the first time that my wife and I had watched it together.
Oh, but you've seen it before?
Yeah.
I don't know. We've never talked about Joker.
Yeah, so my wife and Reagan went to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to cancel because I ended up having to work late when they went mm-hmm. to see it. And then the second time she saw it was when Reagan went to see Frozen.
Mm.
Or Frozen 2, rather.
And
sure. My wife's like, I'm not seeing that. I'm going to go see Joker. I went to see it by myself because they had already seen it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now it's out. So my wife bought it. And she's like, mm-hmm. let's watch Joker. And I was like, all right. So we watched Joker. And then mm-hmm. we had an interesting conversation afterwards.
That it's her favorite superhero film?
It is her favorite movie, actually.
Of course. Movie or superhero film?
Movie.
Movie?
Well, movie of like the year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not like of all time. But
okay.
Current favorite movie, at least of the year.
Sure.
And she's like, wasn't that amazing? And I was like, yeah, it was good. But it wasn't a Joker movie.
That ain't my Joker.
She's like, what are you talking about? He was an amazing Joker. I said, he was an amazing clown, but he's not Joker. But the movie was great. Don't get me wrong.
I agree.
The movie's great. Before I get hate mail from people.
No, I completely – hey, just like I mentioned last episode, yeah, it's just not a superhero film.
Yeah.
It's a great person spinning into a pit of despair and mental illness. But, you know, it's no superhero film.
It is a great reboot of Robert De Niro's The Comedian.
With a little bit of Taxi Driver thrown in.
With a little bit of Taxi Driver thrown in. Which is funny because De Niro's in it, right? But anyways – yeah, it was good. So we watched that, and then I went back to sleep.
That's good. I like it.
Yep. And outside of that, not much, man.
Nope.
Zoe and I went axe throwing again Friday.
Nice.
That was fun. I didn't get to finish my bull. Did I tell you we're building a bullseye in the backyard? Wait, we haven't talked about axe throwing at all.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
See, you and Gundy should have talked about it last week.
Well, so much happens every episode that we don't have enough time. This is not the Geek Brunch podcast, you know what I mean?
Hey, I'm not working tomorrow, so proceed. hello, Nerdy Legion. This will be our 5-hour end of the year special.
Well, go. I mean, I have read 1,600 pages of graphic novels in the past 2 days, so we could record for 4 hours. So Zoe and I went axe throwing. I don't even remember how long ago that was now. 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? She's been asking for like 2 months because we went to eat at this sushi restaurant. When was that? Yeah, it had to be maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And right next to it is where the Smash It place is. And they also do axe throwing there. But they were closed when we went. So I was like, you know, next time you come, we'll look it up. We'll set up an appointment. We'll go. We ended up not going to that one. We went to a different one downtown. I can't remember the name of it. But it's a ton of fun, man. We had a good time. We had a great time.
Yeah, I've heard great things.
I mean, all you do is just like throw an axe at a bullseye. But it's cool because you can compete. Like, there's a game you can play with it, like points or whatever. And it takes a little while to like get used to it. Zoe was getting very frustrated because like she just kept from like smacking the bullseye instead of actually hitting the axe to it.
Sure.
She was fine. She was fine.
Out of these activities, two questions. Mm-hmm. Would Zoe be interested in going and doing some archery with you?
So when my wife gave me that certificate, Zoe's like, I want to go.
Heck yeah. I figured axe throwing, why wouldn't she want to shoot arrows? That'd be fun.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe next time I go, I'll take her with me.
And my second question, comparing both archery and axe throwing, because you're using muscles that you normally wouldn't use in both activities. Mm. Which one do you feel like strained your muscles more?
Mm. I mean, strains, I would say archery.
Okay. Okay.
In terms of like more fun, I would say axe throwing.
I was just curious, like the next morning, are you waking up and being like, whoa.
Oh, I see what you
mean. Like my hips are like, wow, that axe throwing. Because you're not, you never think, especially for both of these, you don't really think to warm up and stretch. But both of those activities, you should be warming up and stretching. You're not using muscles that you normally would.
Let me tell you, axe throwing is not as hard as you might imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not as strainful. Because you're not actually throwing the axe. You're basically just like releasing the axe and letting the axe do all the work. Right? So it's not like throwing a baseball.
It's still like you're hammering something. You're raising something above your head and you're throwing it.
I guess.
Now, can you throw hatchets? Do they let you throw hatchets?
Well, I mean, they're like specially designed axes for this.
No, I'm saying one-handed hatchets. Do they have those available so you could throw those as well? As like two-handed axes.
So they're like hatchets. They're like little tomahawks.
Oh, okay. All right.
They're small axes. I don't know how big they are. I would say like 12 inches on the handle.
I thought they were like big lumberjack axes.
No.
Over the head.
No.
Oh, okay. So they're like tomahawks.
Yeah, they're like tomahawks. Mm-hmm. And you can do it one-handed or two-handed.
Nice.
Just whatever you feel more comfortable with, like more control of the release,
right,
is what you can do. We tried both two-handed and one-handed. Mm-hmm. I found it easier to do one-handed.
Sure.
But yeah, so we had a ton of fun doing that, and she wanted to go again. But the thing is, you know, I like to consider myself crafty, and you know, it's like $40 a person to go axe throwing. So I'm like, well, shit, why don't we just build a thing at home?
Yeah, a couple hay bales, you'll be all right.
Well, no, like an actual wood target. You know, it's just like a few 2x4s and a piece of plywood, and then you paint your bullseye on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started it. I still got to build a stand for it to stand it up. Because I think regulation is like 63 inches above the ground for the target. So I need to build a stand so it's up in the air. But we tested the target out. We put it up against the trampoline in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
And so we're throwing the little axe at it. I went to Cabela's and bought a couple of throwing axes because they sell them there. They're like $20 a piece. And it's cool because like they're wooden handles. So if you break the handle, you can buy replacements, like 3-pack replacement handles. And so we've been playing a little bit around with that.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun, man. It's almost like darts, except I would say more fun because you're throwing an axe.
Did you feel like Conan? Jason Aaron's Doctor Strange when he has that mystical axe?
If I had like a giant axe to wield, then maybe. Yeah. But with these little axes, no.
Ah, dang it.
Yeah. But it was fun. I felt more like a not shitty version of Gambit.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's better than Jason Voorhees.
Yes, much better than Jason Voorhees.
Yes, yes.
I think I was talking to Ronnie about this. A couple weeks
friend
ago
of the
Twitter.
Show, Ronnie Barron.
Friend of the show. Matter of fact, before this episode comes out, there'll be an episode of me and Ronnie. Cause Ronnie was bored and he's like, if anyone wants a podcast, let me know. And I'm like, all right.
You guys talk about the holidays and year end stuff like we're talking about now.
No, we talked, comics and beards.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Can't wait.
Cause you know, I'm growing my beard out. It's very fluffy.
Oh, boy. Oh. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So that'll be out. But we were talking on Twitter about Gambit a couple of weeks ago. Because mm-hmm. when I was growing up, I loved the X-Men animated TV series.
Yep.
The cartoon, which I hope, Rob Krieger, you are watching on Disney Plus.
He should be.
Because he's never seen it. Shame on him.
His favorite X-Men is in it.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jubilee.
Yes. But he's gonna hate. He's gonna hate this in like a month and a half when he finally listens to it. But we love you, Rob Krieger.
We love you, Rob Krieger. Matter of fact, we're chatting tonight with Chris as well because we're getting ready to start up our D&D campaign.
Ooh, very exciting.
Hmm. Anyway, so Gambit was on that show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back then, Gambit was cool. Mm-hmm. Then you get a little bit older, and you're like, Gambit sucks.
Mm.
But back then, Gambit was cool. And, you know, he always threw the little cards.
Yeah.
So I learned how to throw cards like Gambit.
Ooh.
And my parents were very upset with me.
Of course, because there's cards stuck in all these walls.
Well, I ruined all the blinds.
Of course. It's the best way to get them to stick. You just throw them in between the blinds.
You throw them at the blinds, and they just like chop the blinds in half.
Perfect.
So my parents did not appreciate that.
Oh, damn you, Gambit. This could be heresy, you tell me. I think I've seen more episodes with Gambit than I've read of comics with Gambit.
No, I think I'm with you.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
And I don't feel like I have to rectify that.
No.
And even, I think I've read more issues with his love interest, Rogue,
mm-hmm.
than Gambit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, and she's a lot more compelling. Sorry, don't at me, but sorry.
That's why you don't see Gambit that much now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He's one of those 90s things.
Yep.
God, he's so smug. Ugh. With his stupid accent.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Anyways, so I ruined many a blind. But it was fun. Nice. I became a card-throwing expert.
Nice. Did you try to – because I've seen, like, magicians throw them into apples. Did you try doing that?
Oh, yeah, dude. That was great.
Did you actually get them to stick into apples?
Hell, yeah.
Dang. Look at you.
Dude, that shit was hard, but it was fun.
Dang.
I practiced a lot with my card throwing.
Did you? Okay, now how many hours?
Oh, I can't even count, dude. This was like an obsession of mine for like months.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I threw the shit out of some cards.
Did you really?
Yeah.
For months?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Like what age?
I mean, when did that show come out?
I don't know, like 93 maybe?
Let's find out. X-Men Animated Series, 92. So I was 11. Yeah, dude.
Really?
Yep.
That's amazing.
And my brothers were little, so Lucas is 6 years younger and Julian's 10 years younger. Mm-hmm. So Julian was a wee beat lad. Trying to think, I think Lucas may have thrown cards with me a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any of your brothers like put the apple on their head and then try to throw it?
No, but no, I don't want to do that because I don't want like a card to get stuck in someone's face.
Well,
I don't think that would happen.
You're also a boy, so boys do. I mean, hey, why do you think I purposely tried to walk in front of the arrow my brother was throwing or the lawn jart that I accidentally stuck my brother with? Do you think we purposely did that? No, we just assumed you stand on one side of the jart in front of the one circle and you aim at that and I'll aim at the one by you. And you never think you're going to overthrow it and it goes right into your brother's like foot. No, you never think that, but it happens.
Well, I did think of that. I didn't want cards getting stuck in my brother's face. I don't know if that would happen. It seems to me like human skin is pretty tough.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Could go right into an eye. Pretty sure the flap that goes over your eye probably won't knock that card.
You are correct. Doors.
But boys are pretty stupid.
You
the
are
moral
correct.
Of the story, boys are pretty stupid.
I mean, we did do a lot of, what was that? American Gladiators.
Hell yeah.
We had set up a whole ring, especially the gauntlet. We had a whole mm-hmm. gauntlet set up between our dining room and TV room.
Jeez.
Yeah. My parents hated it.
Hell yeah. Hey, quick question.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of cards, did you ever, have you ever checked out the card company? They make like customized or like high-end playing cards. But the company's called Theory 11. Did you ever look at any of their stuff?
Me look right now.
I can send you something.
Theory11.com.
Yeah, my point is they just came out with a Star Wars, a good side and a bad side.
Wait,
packs of cards.
Star Wars?
Here you go.
Never heard of it. What's that?
I put it in our thing. But they also do other customized cards, but they're like really thick cards.
Huh.
But you can tell like their design sense, the designers that they get for their various cards. Holy Christ, this is not like a deck of Hoyle cards that you just throw away. But they're really
nice.
Thick. Yeah, of course they're expensive, but shoot, if you're a huge fan of Star Wars or even like the designers of these things, my God, some of the cards are really pretty.
Oh, they have old man Luke Skywalker as the king. I want these.
I'm telling you.
These are sweet.
Yeah, I thought, since we went to, when do I ever get a chance to bring up Theory 11? We never, how many conversations are you circling back to, like, let's talk about playing cards? So, yeah, Theory 11. Check them out.
Dude, these are awesome. How much are these? $10? That's it?
Well, I mean, considering you could buy a deck of Hoyle cards for like $2, so yeah,
sure.
They are a little bit more expensive.
These
but they're
are
really
sweet.
Cool. Yeah,
I like
if you
the
like
packaging.
Design, yeah, if you like packaging and design, holy cow! Like, I could see Dennis, I could see Jay really enjoying these.
I'm gonna tweet about these right now.
Or Sparky, I could see Sparky, Wookie Dave, they'd be jumping all over those. Hey, just make sure you include me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I will. Don't you worry. Check out what Nick just sent me. All right. I included you in the tweet.
Thank
Those
you.
Are sweet, dude.
Aren't they?
Hell yeah.
I just love design stuff like that. Like that is in my wheelhouse. Like I even told the wife above like graphic t-shirts. I love graphic t-shirts, but you give me anything with like a schematic or like a really minimal design.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love the old like 70s Marvel pages or DC pages where they give you the building schematic of the Titans Tower or like the Batcave.
Yeah.
That stuff was so, or even like the Fantastic Four, Fantastic Car, like just to see that broken down to like what's all involved in it. Oh, I love them.
You know, who's really good with that is Matt Kent.
Yes. Yes.
He does that on all his books.
He has a strange engineering mind.
Yeah.
Where he wants things to make sense and how they're being put together makes sense. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Damn, now I got to put some Matt Kent on my reading list for 2020.
Well, I'm glad I could turn you on to some Theory 11.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know
cool,
how many decks of cards you would go out and purchase, but what the hell? If you're gonna play cards with somebody, you might as well have some cool looking decks.
Yeah. Oh, these are sweet. We don't play a whole lot of cards. We play a lot of Uno.
Is there nice.
Is there a cool like Theory 11 type Uno?
You know I mean, know.
Like thick stock mm-hmm. cards with like cool designs on them.
If there isn't, some designer should be doing them.
Someone's got to do this.
Because you could make a really cool. I mean, you're using a lot of colors.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty simple designs, so man, somebody could go to town on those.
Mm-hmm. Damn, we use a special card. We use the swap card in Uno.
Mm.
So the Uno deck that we have came with two blank cards, like make your own card.
Okay.
So Reagan made it swap decks.
Ooh.
So it's a wild card.
You can swap hands?
Yeah, swap hands. There you go.
Okay, gotcha.
Which is awesome because like, you know, you have like 30 cards in your hand and somebody calls Uno and you're just like, bam.
That's great.
Swap hands.
I like that.
Sucker. yeah, but you always got, it's a wild card too, so you always got to make sure you call the color before you swap the hands.
Of course. I think Uno is my, what's the game that you play online?
Hearthstone.
Yeah, that's my card game.
That's your Hearthstone?
Yeah, because man, it's really hard not to play that or pinball whenever I jump on the PS4.
I hear that. Dude, Zoe is obsessed with Uno. She wants to play like all the damn time.
Now, has she tried Skipbo?
No, I've never even heard of that.
It's the sequel to Uno.
Really?
Yep. It's by the same company. I think it came out like 3 years after Uno.
Skipbo.
I will say it's not as good, not nearly as good as Uno. But if you want something that's almost as good as Uno, there's a card game called Baja. And that one is pretty fantastic.
Huh.
Because it uses like the, what is it, cribbage?
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it's sort of like Uno and cribbage together, or Uno and hearts together.
Yeah, when I was in high school, we played a lot of hearts and spades.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But the thing with that is like you have to have four players, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And not everyone always wants to play cards.
Right, it sort of stinks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when there's two players, it's like you could play Uno, but it's not nearly as fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But then what else could you play? War?
Like, War? Solitaire?
Like, yeah. Well, solitaire against each other is fun, though. I do like that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure there's more games that you can play two players.
Yeah, I'm sure there
is. You can do, like, Go Fish.
Yeah, for cards, yeah, there's not too many.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, whenever we play one-on-one, it's either a very quick game or like we go through the deck twice.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Is she at the age where like playing solitaire against each other would be a thing?
I don't know. We haven't tried that. I might try that next time.
You should, because it's a lot of fun, because it is sort of like slapjack, because you're both aiming for the same card with the same card. So mm-hmm. whoever gets there first, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But you're playing community, like all the aces go into the communal pot and you can put your card on them. We used to play that all the time with our grandparents.
I might try that. That sounds good, actually.
It's good. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I kind of get tired of Uno sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and especially like if you just get dealt a sweet hand and all of a sudden it's like skip, 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 draw mm-hmm, two, mm-hmm. my turn again, draw two, my turn again, like, ugh.
Well,
all of a sudden you could wipe out the other player in like two hands, you're done.
That's always my favorite strategy, is saving the skips. Because then if you have like a card and two skips and you have the right color combination, you can skip, skip Uno, and then you drop your last card and you're done.
Yep.
Yeah,
always a good plan.
I'm trying to teach Zoe Uno strategy, but it doesn't always work out. Like, she gets a lot of it, mm-hmm. but sometimes she gets, like, really anxious to win.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? So she makes rookie mistakes.
Yeah, but once she gets that, like, planning two turns ahead, that's when you go from, like, let's play checkers to, like, we can play chess now.
Right.
And that's when it'll get a lot of fun.
Yep. Well, see, I like to try playing poker with her. But like with poker, you got to remember a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
But I think that would be fun, especially doing like Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, or what's the other one? The one with seven cards, seven card Monty, maybe? That one's pretty good too, because you have the communal cards that you share.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that being good.
But, anyways. Yeah, my wife's not too into cards, and then Reagan is not too into anything but drawing and YouTube, so.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I had to get her a USB hub, because she got a laptop for Christmas, and the laptop didn't have USB ports. It just had, like, USB-C ports.
What?
So, yeah.
That's weird.
Well, you know, everyone tries to copy Apple, and Apple doesn't put anything on their computers.
True.
So I had two USB-C ports, but she's got nothing that's USB-C. So I had to order a freaking hub from Amazon, because nobody sells a USB-C hub. Like, I went to Best Buy. Best Buy had them. They were $100.
Jeez.
So wow. I got one for $20 on Amazon.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God.
Well, she had to hook up her little drawing tablet to it and stuff, so. Mm-hmm.
I hear you.
But anyways. So I've been doing a lot of reading, Nick.
Oh?
Yeah. I've read a lot this past 2 days.
I've noticed that. I thought we were going to read something together, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm on to volume 2. Bye.
Bye. Well, it was really good.
Well, of course. It is great.
And I've decided I'm going to keep a list of everything that I read.
Good.
For 2020.
I do the same. I love it.
So between yesterday and today, I read Irredeemable Omnibus 1 and 2.
Mm. Mm.
I read The Woods, Volume 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I read Durfler, Volume 1. Judas, Volume 1. Into the Flood, Volume 1. Oh, no, it's called In the Flood. I got to change that. Hang on. Let me change my spreadsheet. In the Flood. And then right before we started recording, I started Lazarus, Volume 1.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So some of these things I have read previously. Some I have not. But I figure, you know what? I'm just going to read some shit.
I like that.
But it's good. I'm keeping a tally. It's 1,596 pages.
Ooh, wow. You're doing it by pages, huh?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a statistics nerd. So I had to do some stats on this spreadsheet.
I keep it by books, but I can respect the page count, too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm doing I'm keeping page count. I'm doing number of books per rating. So
are like you doing
how many five books? Stars, four stars, three stars?
Nice. Yeah. Are you doing books, or is an omnibus a book?
Yeah. So this is only going to be collections.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why I mean my count. I want to say my count is 296, where I'm trying to get to 300 this year. But I also read quite a few omnibuses. If I go back and look at how many omnibuses, and it's like, dang it, I want to count those as like three trades. Come on.
Right?
But it's like, no, I can't really do that. But the sad thing is I'm already down this rabbit hole, or I would have done like you. I would have kept page count, because then at least I can be like, I'm at 10,000, whatever, 100,000 pages. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it doesn't matter if it's an omnibus, because that's a lot of page count.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's fun. Good stats.
Looking at page counts, an average trade is 107 pages.
Doesn't that suck? No, that is an average trade, an average modern trade.
Average modern trade, correct.
Yeah, which is crazy, because like 3 years ago, trades used to be 6 to 8 issues.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now they're four. Like four. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're lucky to get a 5-issue one.
Yeah, unless you do like the Aftershock ones are all 5.
Yes, yes. But I'm just I'm talking Marvel DC.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yep. The Irredeemable Omnibuy are 482 and 465.
Hell yeah.
But
now, out
of
the ones that you've already read,
uh-huh.
that you're rereading, did any of them, like, they were so much better the first time?
Yes,
or
the Woods.
Are you discovering, like, oh my god, there's something new here that I completely missed the first time?
No, so out of the ones that I read, the Irredeemable ones and Judas are rated 5 stars.
Nice.
The Woods, I gave 3 stars, which I actually mentioned it because Ed replied when I posted that I was reading The Woods.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what he said. Something about, like, it's the one that put Tinian on the map or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading it when it was first traded. Because I have a physical copy of it. I read these all on Unlimited, Comixology Unlimited.
Sure.
But I do have a physical trade of Volume 1.
They have Irredeemable Omnibus on Unlimited?
Buddy, you can either get the 12 trades.
Yeah.
Or you can get the 2 Omnibuses.
Mm-hmm.
Or the 4 Premier Collections, all on Unlimited.
Because then there is no excuse for any listener who has Unlimited not to have read that. That is insane.
Yeah.
That is a lot of – oh, that's a lot of great reading.
Yep. It's 37 issues for the whole series.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Okay. All right. But the Woods did not hold the water like you remembered it.
Yeah, I remember enjoying it more the first time I read it. And again, mm-hmm. I had only read Volume 1 originally.
This is like the first issue, because I read the first trade. The first issue is like people in a fallout shelter, right?
In a high school.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, in a high school. And then they're transported to this like magical place.
Yes. And people like there's some weird relationships.
Yes.
Well, like they might have dated each other, or they might know each other through like various means. Okay, gotcha. Yep. A lot of mystery behind them. Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yes. And I think maybe that's part of the thing I didn't enjoy as much.
Okay.
Because it's part of that, like, you know, the comic veritas thing, which I'm not like a huge fan of.
Yes, we know.
Well, you know, I got to bring it up.
Shame on you. Go on.
I mean, I like reading it to an extent, but it's not like my go-to genre, right?
Yeah, of course.
But I mean, it's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
But Volume 1 is a lot of setup.
Yeah, it's pretty slow.
Yeah. And even Volume 2, like, the action picked up a little bit, but it was still slow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep going through it. I think there's there's 9 volumes.
Ooh,
total.
Holy cow. Okay.
8 are on the limited. The last one is not. But I think what I want to do is I want to clear out like my unlimited checked out books, because you know they limit mm-hmm. you to 50.
Right.
So I want to get through those 50 before I start adding any more. And so once I get through the 50, then I'll go back and pick up the Woods again. Because I do want to read it through the end. I think the story is interesting. And the characters are really compelling. I just don't want to go through the whole thing at once, because it's not like grabbing me enough to keep going. You know what I mean? Like there's just enough there where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the next volume, but like I'm not itching to read the next volume.
Gotcha.
Whereas when I started reading Irredeemable, I was like, holy shit. So I read the second omnibus all in one sitting. The first one took me, I started it last night and finished it this morning.
God, it's so good. It doesn't hold up because I really want to read it in 2020.
Oh, hell yeah, it holds up.
Yeah, because in my head, it is like, it's one of those things, like how many movies in your head, they're just freaking priceless. Then you watch them a second time and there's a little lagginess to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's usually the norm. It's rare that you get something that's just like on second or third viewing, you're like, oh my God, I'm still blown away by that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it is in my head. Like, I don't want to ruin it because it was so good the first time I read it.
Yeah, I had that recently. I rewatched Pi last week.
Oh.
And I saw Pi like a year after it came out.
That's Aronofsky, right?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
And I remember when the first time I watched it, I was fucking blown away by that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And watching it, whatever it is, 20 years later, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little less than that. It wasn't like as good as I remember.
It still might technically be unbelievable, but it's just like you sort of know where it's going.
Well, so you know where it's going, so like the punchline kind of doesn't mean as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I feel like I've read so much like philosophy and religion stuff over the past 20 years that like the impact is not the same.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, your basic point of view has changed through those readings. Yeah. I get it.
But it was still fun watching it. Mm-hmm. I still liked it. It just didn't hit me like the first time that I watched it.
Okay. You know?
But I mean, there's movies that I watched that are like still get me when I watch them. Like Dark City, I still love watching.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch it like super often, but you know, once every couple years, I'll watch Dark City.
Sure.
Even like something a little more poppy, like The Matrix, I still enjoy watching.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so Pi is one of those movies. But gotcha. So here's the thing. So when I originally read Irredeemable, I actually stopped at what is the stopping point of Omnibus One, which is issue 19.
So you had the back half brand new to you?
So Omnibus Two, I had never read.
Holy guac! Because that's when it goes apeshit crazy.
That's when it goes apeshit crazy.
Hell yeah!
But the good thing about that story is you can end it at issue 19.
It's a perfect end.
And get a great story.
Yes. Right? Yes.
But then if you get the second half, then you get a little bit more. And Nick, let me tell you. So I tweeted about this. Last page of this book, the epilogue, I think it's like three pages. But the last page just like puts a nice little bow on the whole thing.
I love me some Mark Waid. He did plenty of stuff before Irredeemable, but that was the first time he wasn't writing for the big two. He was writing for himself, but he wanted to play still in that sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of volume two, it just showed me like, wow, this is where he could take anything with DC, Marvel, wherever he would want to go. Like, he completely could do something with any modern character, and I think he could sell it to any editor. Like, after writing something like that and where the hell it went, it's like, oh my god, why isn't he writing his own Legion of Superheroes?
Right.
And just letting it just become operatic.
Yeah.
And space and science fiction.
So, for anyone that hasn't read it, I think we maybe should explain a little bit.
Yes, feel free.
Basically, it stars the Plutonian, which is Mark Waid's version of Superman.
Yeah, it's a Superman analog. Okay.
And there's a Justice League analog, what are they called? The Paradigm.
Yeah.
And basically, the story asks the question, what would happen if Superman went crazy?
Yeah, it's a what-if tale.
Right. And so that's basically the story that you get in the first 19 issues. Okay. And then the second 19 issues, or I guess it's less, 18 issues, you dive a little bit into like the origin story of the Plutonian, and you get some like really wacky shit with like the Lex Luthor analog, where like Lex Luthor is basically deeply, madly in love with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also the smartest man in the universe. So he devises this plan to have Superman love him.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the way he does that, and if I spoil it, my apologies, you should have read it. This book is 10 years old.
Or skip ahead 10 minutes.
Yeah, or skip ahead 10 minutes. At least a few, because I am definitely going to talk about a spoiler that I want to discuss with you.
Sure. It's been since it originally came out that I read it. So believe me, I'm pretty, I need a refresher. So this is good.
Fair enough. So in the second half, things get crazy because basically the Paradigm has created this pact with this alien race that's like super powerful, and they give them this teleportation technology to expand their empire, their stellar empire. And in return, like, they're supposed to take the Plutonian away, okay? Because nobody's powerful enough to kill this guy.
Right.
And so that comes back in the second half of the series, where they basically have him in this prison planet mining their fuel for their empire. But he's too powerful even there, so they throw him into this insane asylum that's built inside a sun.
Mm.
And he manages to escape that. That's when you get a little kooky stuff, right? Like, you have a lot of stuff inside the Plutonian's head, like him reliving his life as he wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn a little bit more about like why it is that he went crazy. You learn that a lot of the good guys aren't really that good.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty shitty people. You learn that the Lex Luthor analog Modius is batshit crazy. you get some post-apocalyptic stuff, right? Because Plutonians destroyed a lot of cities around the world, mm-hmm. and everyone's super afraid of them. So there's like a backlash against superheroes. You have like aliens that the Plutonian enlist to come to Earth to be like gods on Earth. Mm-hmm. You have these like hyper-dimensional beings that are the Plutonians' parents. And that's the one thing that I enjoy the most is that minor change in like the Superman origin story, right? Cause in Superman you have, I mean, they're just like, they're aliens, right? But they're like people, mm-hmm. right? They're Kryptonians. Mm-hmm. The Plutonians' parents are these like hyper-dimensional, like explorers, that travel around in couples around the universe. And through different dimensions and different times. And all they do is collect knowledge. And they create this like avatar to help them collect knowledge, in humanity. Mm-hmm. Because humanity has like really advanced consciousness and they can't quite like grasp all the emotional spectrum that humans have. So they make this little like energy golem that's going to live as a human so they can learn about that experience. Right, because they don't have that kind of empathy and stuff. And somehow as this like energy thing is traveling through Earth, it's made like flesh into a baby by this woman who just so happens to have just killed her actual baby. So there's like a lot of like weird esoteric stuff with like playing around with the laws of physics and like manifesting thought into reality at this point. So the Plutonian like learns how he has his powers, right? Like he always thinks he's just like super strong and he can fly. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case, right? He's like this energy being that basically like manipulates matter, right? But the manifestation in reality is like having super strength.
But it's also like a unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
Cause he's a little cuckoo.
Well, and you also get a lot of the story from Modius, right? The bad guy who is mm-hmm. totally batshit crazy.
Right.
And from Qubit, who, I mean, what would be the analog of Qubit in the Justice League?
Oh, God.
Like the really smart guy that creates stuff. There's not one, right?
I always got like a Dr. Manhattan, almost like, oh, God.
But he's not like a godlike being, right? He's just human. He's just like super smart.
Right, right.
I mean, it'd be closer to like the engineer. Right? In the Authority?
Mm-hmm.
So a character like that. Anyways.
But it's interesting because Wade definitely touches on, like, I always thought it was sort of a DC Superman Justice League, a little bit of Watchmen, a mm-hmm. little bit of Miracle Man.
Well, and so the thought that I had too, I hadn't thought about Miracle Man. That's interesting. The thought that I got like halfway through Omnibus One was like how was this a lot related to like the Boys, for example? Because there's a little bit of that with the Plutonian, right? I can't remember the Superman analog and the Boys, but there's a lot of similarities in Volume One between those two characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even like including the origin story to some extent. But anyways, I looked it up and the Boys came first, just for the record.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the Boys was 06 to 08, and then Irredeemable came out in 09.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But anyways,
so how was Volume 2?
So Volume 2,
first,
like,
first-time read.
When it kicked off, I was like a little like, eh, this should have ended like at the end of Volume 1.
Sure.
But then like once things kicked into gear and the Plutonian escaped the prison in the sun – mm-hmm. Then like I was back in,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But that took, you know, two or three issues.
Yeah, he's not sinking a continent right off the bat, so right. Yeah, there's nothing to really tether you to. Like, holy Christ, I have to read on.
Yeah, but the whole time I'm thinking like, how is this going to end? And so that's the spoiler that I want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if you don't want to hear about the spoiler, fast forward 5 minutes. So they end up figuring out how to take down the Plutonian, and like everything is right in the universe. And you have this, like, I think it's two pages, like three panels apiece, where you're just like panning through space. And then all of a sudden you get the epilogue. And the epilogue, I think, is three pages. And you see this like little boy running into his house, and his mom's like, why are you running? Like, your dad's gonna be mad at you, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, he goes to his friend's house. That's what it is. He's like, such and such is going to yell at you. He's like, yeah, whatever. I got to see blah, blah, blah. Whatever the other kid's name is. Joe, I think, was the other kid's name. And so he runs upstairs. And he's like, I have this amazing idea about, like, a character we can make for the periodicals. And, like, his friend's drawing, like, superheroes on a little sketch pad or whatever. And, oh, so I'm missing part of the thing. So the way that they defeat him is they basically turn him back into, like, this energy force that his, quote-unquote, parents had originally created. So now he's, like, just pure energy because he Qubit had promised that he would send him back to a place before all this stuff happened, before he killed all these people and caused so much pain and suffering. And he does, but not in the way that the Plutonian thought. So the Plutonian thought he was going to basically like send him back through time to before all this happened. But what he does is he turns him back into this pure energy and sends him out into the universe in the hopes that when somebody finds him and turns his thought into like a physical thing, it won't be this crazy woman that's a child murderer, right? That it'll be like somebody with imagination that will do something good with the idea of the Plutonian. So that's when you get to the epilogue and you see this kid running in, talking to his buddy Joe and Joe's drawing, and they're talking about making this comic book character. And you see the last panel is this like Superman, like really rough sketch of Superman. And there's two notebooks, one on each side, and one says Siegel and the other one says Schuster. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this is perfect.
Yeah. Wade knows his history.
He sure does.
Jesus.
He sure does. But yeah, it was fantastic. It was amazing.
That's great.
Yeah. Highly recommend it.
I love that you didn't read the second half. That's fantastic. Is it going to lead you into Incorruptible?
So I remember reading Incorruptible when it was coming out. Mm-hmm. I remember not liking it as much as Irredeemable.
No, it's not nearly as good.
Yeah. As I was reading volume 2, I was considering putting that on my read list because there is like a 2-issue crossover somewhere in there.
Okay.
Max Damage does show up in Irredeemable.
Yeah.
And it's weird because he's just like thrown in there and you're like, where did this guy come from? because like that bit starts in Incorruptible.
Mm.
So yeah, at some point I will.
Okay.
But I'm not like jumping to it. Right.
Right.
But it got like my head flowing with all these ideas, man. Like what if he had done this with Batman too? You know what I mean?
Well, that's sort of Incorruptible. He does. It's like a Joker analog.
Right.
Yeah.
But Max Damage is not as cool as the Joker.
No.
Yeah. And there is kind of a Batman character in Irredeemable, but like when you actually meet him, it's for a couple pages towards the end of Volume 1. Omnibus 1, rather, not Volume 1. And it's like a recording that he left. Because he gets killed like in the first page, I think, of Issue 1.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very good.
So now you read a lot in the last couple weeks. Was this all by mood? Did you have a goal? What inspired you to jump seemingly all over the place?
Well, you can blame Ronnie Barron. If you listen to the episode before this one, you will know.
Well, when that comes out, I will listen to it. But it isn't out yet, so I don't know.
So Ronnie and I were talking about Comixology, and I got on Comixology as we were chatting. Mm-hmm. And I said, God damn, I have way too many things like on my read list. I need to like get rid of some of this stuff. Cause you know, 2020 is right around the corner, Nick.
For sure.
And I got to start my Daredevil stuff.
Oh, ooh, is that your adopt a character?
That's my adopt a character.
Nice.
That's my adopt a character. I'm considering a second one. I just don't know what yet. I was thinking about Galactus, but I don't know yet. I'm definitely doing Daredevil though. Got a few trades. So we'll see. So I'm going to be jumping back and forth, you know, doing a little Daredevil, get some of my read list done. Go back to Daredevil, get some of my read list done.
Well, it isn't 2020 yet, so you still have some time to get your read list done.
Well, sure. But, you know, I got to work tomorrow and Tuesday.
I hear you.
And then the year's over Tuesday, so.
I know. I don't think I'll be able to get four trades done before Tuesday.
Oh, you can do it.
Highly doubtful.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate
it's just four.
Just. Luckily, no omnibuses, so thank God.
No omnibuses. I mean, you can do some. There's some, like, quick ones. So, like, this Durfler that I read is a Fantagraphics book. Uh-huh. That had been in my reading queue for years, apparently.
Oh, jeez.
So I was like, you know what? I got to read this. And I was like, how long is it? 106 pages. Okay, I'm going to get through this right now. That was the quickest read that I did.
Yeah, Lazarus also is a pretty quick read.
Well, we'll see.
Some of it is.
Well, so Durfler was interesting because a lot of the pages are just four panels.
Nice.
And there's very little words. It's mostly art.
Ooh.
I don't recommend read this for anybody. Okay, it's a very odd story. But I found it interesting. I recommended it to Jay because this seems like a book Jay would like. Cool. It's slightly pretentious. but for anybody else, I don't recommend it. But, gotcha. At least I got it off my list.
Yeah, heck yeah.
And that's all that mattered.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you starting with your adopt a character?
I'm going to do the Kevin Smith first.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to go back to Frank.
Nice. Okay.
Yep. I want to see if I can find some of the Ann Nocenti stuff also. I didn't buy any of that, but I think I do want to put that on my list.
Oh, there's an epic sale going on, and there's one Nocenti in there.
Let's play a game.
Just to let you know. And that sale goes till the 2nd, so.
All right. Comixology.
I think it's the one with, what's her name? Typhoid Mary.
Ah. There is a bit on Unlimited, by the way, for Daredevil.
Nice.
So Born Again is on there. Man Without Fear is on there. The Mark Waid stuff is on there.
Ooh.
There's some more stuff. I can't remember.
Some Marco Martin with Mark Waid.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like it.
Mm-hmm. What's this one? Is this the Charles Soule? It better not be because I bought some of that. Oh, the Bendis stuff. Okay. Yeah, hell good. Yeah. That's good.
For free?
Hell yeah.
That's good.
Why? Oh, I'm not signed in. I'm like, why is it telling me to add to cart? This is on Unlimited. All right. I got to get on my... See, so I do... I'm very weird with my security stuff.
No, you?
Yeah.
Martin Ferretti?
Yeah.
Weird?
Yeah.
Security stuff?
Yeah.
No.
So I do a lot of tabs.
Of course you
do. Which is normal, I would say. Cause I don't have to save stuff, you know what I mean? I just open a new tab. Sure. But I use an extension that opens each tab in a separate container. So, nothing is shared between tabs. So, they can't track me between tabs. So if I sign into if I'm on a different tab, I have them classified by category. Mm-hmm. But if I'm in my personal tab, it's not going to see my Amazon login for Comixology. It has to be in my shopping tab and then it'll know. See what I mean?
Oh, I see what you mean. Love it.
Very good. There's a lot of Daredevil on Unlimited. This is perfect.
Get in there, son.
Hell yeah. I might start this tonight.
But it's not 2020. It doesn't count.
Oh, that's true. All right. I'm going to finish Lazarus. So here's what I have queued up for the next couple days.
Wait, hold on. Just so we're on the same page. Lazarus is the Rucka Lark stuff.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. World building. Yes.
Yes. So up on my list is Lazarus Volume 1. Mm. Then I have Fatale Volume 1.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, my God.
Fatale's great.
You are freaking sending 2019 out in style, son. Dang. Love it.
Then I'm going to go a little more lighthearted and do Rat Queens Volume 1.
Smart.
Then
that's
I've got,
so good. That's really good. Putting you right into the Dungeon & Dragons spirit right yep. there.
Let's see. The Massive Volume 1.
Okay, okay.
Hip Hop Family Tree Volume 1.
Ooh, very good.
Stone King Volume 1.
Jeez.
The Dark Volume 1.
Nice.
Bone Parish Volume 1. And Meta Barons Volume 2.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
You need a lot of people not to be at work tomorrow so you can what the hell? I approve that.
Yep. So then after that, it'll be January 1st. I'm going to do some Daredevil. Then I'm doing Alien Omnibus, Volume 1.
Ooh, is that the Mark A. Nelson?
Let me see here, and I will tell you.
Okay.
Issue info. Mark Verheiden.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. This is old school. It's from like late 80s, like
the,
I think.
The Dark Horse.
Yeah. With the, I think the artwork is painted.
Oh.
It's awesome looking. Nice. I have read this before, by the way, but I want to get it.
And
in there
all
again.
Of this is on Unlimited?
Yeah, bro.
Man, you are paying for Unlimited all within the first week of having it. Way to go.
Oh, I get my money's worth out of Unlimited.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
There's some stuff that I'd never seen on here before, like Dark Light I had never heard of, and Higher Earth, that's Sam Humphreys, but I'm curious.
Yeah, why not? The price is right, why not?
You got it, buddy.
I like your adopt a character, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta see what else I'm gonna do. Maybe I'll find like a DC character to adopt.
Gotcha. I ran a poll on mine, and at the end of the poll, I'm like, not that I'm not going to do it, not that I don't love the character, but I was just like, man, I wanted to choose a like B or C level character. But by throwing in Batman, guess what everybody voted for?
That was your mistake.
That was an error. But I was strictly going by my Comixology purchases of stuff I haven't read. And I have tons of freaking Batman that I've never read. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to throw them up there because I need to get through that stuff. Just like Superman. I had tons of Superman. That's why he was my adopt for 2019.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. So why not?
I'm trying to think what DC character I would adopt.
Because
I have read a lot of DC.
All right. Let me throw you out one. Now, would you just buy it, or are you sort of like me where it's like, well, I own 50 issues of this character that I've never read, so I'm going to have to read it now.
I'm good either way. Throw something at me.
Blue Beetle.
That's a good one, actually.
I figured so. Yeah. Or I just figured you might have read one incarnation, but you might not have read the two other incarnations.
I have read a good chunk of Blue Beetle.
The Jaime stuff?
Yeah, I've read some of the Jaime stuff as well. That was fine.
Yeah. It was either going to be that or Booster Gold, just because you can't. You can't beat it.
See, I had I was looking at Adam Strange at one point, because I haven't read much of anything from that character.
That would be good.
I don't know, man.
Or even Hawkman. Hawkman had so many small little series, but you can also be like, you know what? That just will inspire me to read JSA. Which is sort of what I did with Superman. I'm like, oh, well, Superman's in, you know, all these, like, crises. So now I have the opportunity to read Crisis.
Yeah, true that.
Tangentially.
Tangentially.
What the hell? Who cares?
Yeah, so I don't know. I gotta play around with that a little bit.
Nice.
I gotta play around with that a little bit.
Nice. Now, with your adopted character, will you be structured with it? Or are you just going to go, I haven't read Daredevil in like whatever it is, 5 trades. I'm going to read a Daredevil, or I'm going to hunker down for 3 months and only read Daredevil, that type of thing.
No, I definitely cannot do that.
Okay.
I cannot do that. no, I'm going to jump back and forth because I'm not even doing it chronologically either, right?
I like that. No worries.
Yeah. I just want to get different feels for it. And the thing is, if I were to do like all of Daredevil and then go back to something else, it'll feel like a chore. You know what I mean?
Yep, for sure.
That's why I'm not doing like all the Woods back to back. So I'm like, okay, like this is cool, but what about all this other stuff?
All of a sudden it feels like school. It's like, no, it's not supposed to feel like schoolwork.
Yep.
I want you to do Blue Beetle just because I think it'd be fun to have you talk about Blue Beetle. But can I throw out one that's going to be a little cuckoo? Don't know how much you read of it, but there's probably 300 issues. Don't know how many are available.
I liked it. Go ahead.
Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, God.
That will be eight shit crazy. You don't have to read too many of them because there aren't a lot available.
Yeah.
But you know you're going to find that joyful. Everyone is going to be like, oh, my God, this is a breath of fresh air. This is so crazy. I'm thinking breath of fresh air. You know what I'm saying?
No, I like, hear you.
If you think of Galactus, every time Galactus is on the scene, that's a crisis. That is like Earth-doomed crisis. And do you want to read Earth-doomed crisis every time you pick up a Galactus book? No, probably not.
It's true. That's true. That's why I'm not reading Deadman, for example.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like, I like Deadman, but, you know, a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
A little bit at a time.
I mean, when it comes down to it, you're adopting a character because you love the character and you just want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least for me, that's why, like, Glenn was throwing out, like, hey, can we switch characters, asking for a friend? I'm like, dude, if you're not feeling a character, this shouldn't be schoolwork, for God's sakes. Make it fun. That's the whole point. Mike Myers approves of fun. That's what he approves of. Move on.
Yep, I agree. I don't know. We'll see.
Can I ask you, just sticking with the comic thing, and you're a lot more, I don't think you're like Chris Campbell, remembering numbers to covers, do you?
Very seldomly.
Even on your most favorite character?
I mean, like, I'm Batman, I'm pretty good with a lot of it, but not everything.
Oh, see, this falls perfectly into my question. Okay, because I still run across, like, Spider-Man covers that I don't ever remember seeing. And it might be in that little stage of when I dropped the books. Or it could be books that were from, like, the early 70s where I was 4 years old and, God forbid, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just not as famous, so you don't get them in collections. So all of a sudden, I'll trip over a cover, and I'll be like, holy Christ, that is an awesome cover. Where is that, and how can I read that? And it happened today. I was on Twitter, and someone posted for, like, New Year's coming up. They posted a cover for Batman 247. And I don't know if you remember that. It's a 20-cent cover. God, you probably weren't even born. But I don't know how far back you go with Batman. But it's Batman with the antagonist on the top of like a New Year's Eve ball is dropping to the ground. And Batman's chained to this New Year's Eve ball. And instead of it saying Happy New Year, Happy scratched out. And it says Death.
Mm.
So Death New Year.
Got it.
But it's just such a freaking awesome cover that I've never seen it before, but I was just like, oh, Happy New Year, that's awesome. And I clicked on the cover, and it was like, I think it's a Dick Giordano cover. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, where was this my whole life? This is so good looking. It's like, they don't make these, you know, beautiful covers like that anymore. So I was just curious for you, have you ever tripped over a cover, especially like you've been going back with like Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much Avengers have been in your life. But it's like, do you trip over covers where it's like, Jesus Christ, that is an awesome cover. Then you realize, oh, yeah, it's Dick Giordano. Of course it's an awesome cover.
No, I don't get that a lot because, as you know, I don't like follow a lot of writers or artists. Like, I don't read a book for the name. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
So, like, if I see an awesome cover, yeah, I'll look up and see who did it. And I might be like, oh, yeah, Dick Giordano. But it's not like, let me find more covers by Dick Giordano. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I do like him a lot, though. In fact, that's so weird that you brought him up, because I was still looking through these DC characters, and I found, you were talking about Blue Beetle. I might be doing Blue Beetle, because I found this book called Law. Have you heard about Law?
No.
It's Living Assault Weapons.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
It's a six-issue miniseries. Let me read you the solicit here.
When did this come out? Do you have the date?
It came out in 99.
Oh, okay.
Written by Bob Layton.
Ooh.
With art by Dick Giordano.
Oh.
Okay.
I like it already.
The former Charlton hero stand between the world and chaos when the JLA disappears! Exclamation point.
Whoa.
After the mysterious being called Avatar casts the Justice Leaguers and their lunar watchtower into another dimension as part of his plan to eliminate the world's warrior class, Blue Beetle, the Question, Sarge Steel, Nightshade, Peacemaker, and Judo Master unite as an elite squad of living weapons to stop him.
What? That sounds awesome. I love Judo Master. That whole team sounds great.
Right?
How is that a limited series?
And I think these are all connecting covers.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that on DC Unlimited?
I don't know. I'm not in there right now. Let's find out.
I thought you'd be all over, like, what? Oh, Swamp Thing has 300 free issues. I'm in. That's my character. I'm in.
No, I wish.
Yeah.
Let's see here. L-A-W.
Wow, that sounds so good, dude.
Oh, great. Figures.
What?
I got a search. 502 error. Request cannot be satisfied.
Wow.
So they have a little problem with their CDN right now.
Crazy.
CloudFront wasn't able to connect to the Origin. We can't connect to the server for this app or website at this time. There might be too much traffic or a configuration error. Thanks, DC. Thanks.
Very nice. Thank you.
Yes. But anyways. So yeah, that'll be fun.
That sounds great.
I think I will do Blue Beetle.
So how do you get a whole, like, is that available for purchase?
Well, it's on Comixology.
Oh, perfect.
If it's on Unlimited, I couldn't tell you because it's not working.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
So I'm not going to buy it yet because I want to see if it's on DC. But, I mean, it's like $1.50 an issue, so whatever.
Yeah, that's a good – oh, that'd be so much fun.
Right?
Yeah, good call. That sounds like a great team. I mean, come on. Bring them back. Let's rebirth them.
It's like when who did that? Dynamite, when they did the Gold Key characters. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to do it a few times with Solar and Magnus and I forget the rest of them. Anyways, those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Turok.
What's the other ones? Not Samson. Is it Samson? Whatever. The Gold Key guys.
Yeah.
Those poor characters.
Oh, God, I love it. That's a great poll, that law. That sounds like fun.
I mean, I don't know if it's any good, but it sounds fun.
See, that was, speaking of a character that I barely scratched the surface on, The Question.
Oh, hell yeah.
But every issue I've ever read, every cover I've ever looked at, holy Christ, does that look like something that's completely up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, I just never purchased. I think it was because the price point was a little bit more expensive, if I remember, than a regular comic. So it was always like, oh boy, that's 50 cents more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was a little bit, because I think it was on better paper, like that Camelot, whatever it is, Camelot 2000, 3000.
3000, yeah. 3000. Yeah,
right. Like that was on prestige format paper.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit more expensive. But then whenever I found them in quarter bins, oh my God. And you just read the singles. I don't care if it's like part three. Doesn't matter. Oh my God, is it good?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm.
And The Question would be cool too.
For sure. If only DC was up and running so you could see how many free issues they have. Idiots. Happy holidays. And I'm sure all the people that got DC Unlimited for the holidays as a present, I'm sure they love this search function.
Yeah, this is the best search function ever.
Wow. Way to go. Slow, dramatic clap for you.
Maybe when it's HBO Max, then it'll be better.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's Disney Plus for the first day. When they had all their crashes and terribleness. Brilliant way to go.
Smart. Yep, yep. So so now that Watchmen's over, I think I might cancel HBO for a little while.
Yeah, what the hell?
I don't know yet, because I'm thinking about rewatching The Leftovers.
Okay.
But with all these books that I'm reading, I don't know if I'll have time for that.
Dude, it's 2020. Let's start it off with a bang. Come on.
I guess.
Get in there.
I did get Shudder, though.
Yeah, you have Shudder, so go watch that. Do they carry any documentaries?
No.
God, no. I would love to hear, like, That's what they should be putting some money into. Like, oh, let's tell the story of, you know, whatever, Last House on the Left. Like, let's tell the story of that. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be cool. The thing is, Shudder doesn't have a lot, which is fine because it's like $3 a month, right? So, like, how much can you expect?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's got to be like 50 movies in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they rotate them out like every couple months. So, like, there's always something new. But there's just not a lot of content on there. And I don't understand why, because I think AMC owns them. So you would think, like, why not just put it into, like, the AMC app?
Sort of makes sense.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know what else you would watch on AMC. Walking Dead? What else? That's it? But anyways. So, yeah, I think I might cancel that. But, whew.
How much is Shudder?
$2.99 for the first 3 months, and then I think it's $4.99 after.
Wow, because the one channel I would love to get to stream is the Criterion channel, and they do their, like, making of behind-the-scene type stuff. They're really, like, invested in, like, bringing that stuff over from the DVDs, Blu-rays. And I love the art house films, as you well know.
Sure.
But they're $100 a year.
Woo!
Which ain't bad if you watch two movies a month from it, but still it's like, Jesus H, that's a lot of, like... If it was $3 a month, okay. Yeah, here, take it.
Mm-hmm.
But, ooh.
Well, $100 a month, that's not bad. Because, I mean, HBO is $14.99 a month.
Yeah, I get it. I totally, but I think HBO has a crap ton more.
Yeah, probably. And they have good documentaries, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but Shudder, that's a great price for what you get.
Yes.
If you like that.
I'm also getting a new hobby for 2020. You will never guess.
Crochet.
No.
Oh, no, then I wouldn't guess.
So I'm going to learn to play the jaw harp.
The jaw harp?
Yes. Have you ever heard a jaw harp? I'm sure you have.
I'm sure I have, but...
In fact, you've probably heard a jaw harp as a sound effect. So, for example, you've watched Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
So you know when Tigger, like, bounces around on his tail?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that sound is a jaw harp.
I just looked it up. Is it also called a mouth harp?
Jaw harp, mouth harp, Jew harp, Guga. Yeah, there's like a bunch of different names.
I have played multiple times a mouth harp.
Have you?
Yes, yes.
How did you like it?
It hit my teeth quite a few times.
Mm.
And the vibration you have to get used to.
Yeah.
But I totally remember enjoying it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. So I was watching this documentary about Adam's calendar. I don't know if you ever heard of that. It is a rock formation in South Africa.
Okay.
It's kind of like Stonehenge, but not really. I mean, like, it's a bunch of tall rocks that are aligned to, like, the solstice and this, that, and the other. But apparently, like, some dude went out there with, like, a metal detector and found this, like, giant mouth harp. I mean, it's obviously not a mouth harp, but it looks exactly like one. And so I was like, I've never even heard of this fucking thing. What is it? So I went and looked it up, and I was like, how does this make a sound? So I went on YouTube, and I searched it. And, you know, the mouth harp is, like, in a bunch of cultures all around the world. So there were a ton of videos from, like, Indian mouth harp players. They have some weird name for it. I can't remember what it is.
Sure.
And it sounds awesome. Played along with a djembe for percussion, which I own one.
Uh-huh.
Remember I told you I had my buddy brought me one back from Israel.
Yes.
So I'm like, this is perfect. I need to learn how to play this. And I was fascinated watching these videos because I'm watching these dudes make this music with the mouth harp, but I can't figure out what the hell they're doing because, you know, you're holding it with one hand and it's tiny, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't see it. And then, like, I see them, like, smacking their face and I'm like, what is happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
But then I looked up a how to play and then I figured out how it works. So I'm very curious. Very curious. So that's going to be a new thing that I'm picking up for 2020.
And the price of entry is pretty nominal.
Oh, dude, I ordered one from Amazon. It was, what did I pay, like $8 for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Original yeah. Schwartz Joharp.
Nice.
That's what I got.
That's very fun.
Maybe I can play some bluegrass with it.
I would love it. Bring on some bluegrass. Hell yeah. Don't disparage the bluegrass. I'm all about it.
Oh, I like bluegrass, dude. There's a bluegrass festival here once a year. Well, not here, but like 30-minute drive from here.
Yeah, my old boss, his father, when he retired, he joined up because I think he played, I want to say, a trombone in high school, but like never really played it from that point forward. But when he retired, and he was like, I'm going to join a band. I'm going to pick up my trombone again and join a band. And sure enough, they started to play bars and then like little like civic events, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And he absolutely fell in love with it. So, and it was a bluegrass band.
Huh.
Just had a blast with it. And my old boss was like joking about it. And I'm like, that sounds pretty freaking awesome. Like, that's retirement right there.
Hell yeah.
That's doing something you love and like just getting rewarded by like tons of strangers just being blown away about how awesome it is.
Yeah, we had this older guy at work. He retired, and right before he said he was retiring, he formed a band because apparently he played guitar his whole life,
mm-hmm.
but like never actually played in front of people.
Dang!
So him and some of his old man buddies that like he would go eat breakfast with at like Bojangles or whatever, just formed a band. So they play like on Fridays at some bar or something.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, that's the life.
Yeah, I love it.
So we'll see. The mouth harp.
Sounds like you're going to have to be throwing out a little bit of mouth harp in at C2E2. Have mouth harp, will travel.
That sounds dangerous. Oh! Episode title.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Very good. You got anything else?
No. Just wanted to share a little bit of leading into 2020 with you. So this has been fantastic.
Very good. Very good. You've been listening to The Nerdy Legion with Nick and Martin. I like our new podcast title.
Mm, it's very good. Dope.
Yeah, very good. You can find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion. Thanks for listening. See you next time.